Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our new website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans, and welcome to episode number 55 of the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast, if you don't know, is our weekly internet USC radio show talking all about the Trojan football team. We have a very exciting show for you this week on the podcast. Later on, we're going to talk to USC kicker David Beeler. He tore it up at the combine. We had about a 20 or 21-minute interview with him, so he shares a lot of his thoughts of going to Indianapolis last week. We also are going to talk to Gerard Martinez about recruiting. He put up a couple of target lists. The offensive and defensive target lists for 2010 just went up on USCFootball.com today on Wednesday, so you can check those out. Those are always popular features. And of course, in the first segment, as always, we have the coach, Harvey Hyde. Coach, what's going on, man?
Man, I tell you, I thought I was going to get outside and get a nice workout in today, and here it is raining.
I know.
So, I'm going to have to put on my galoshes. Remember the old term, galoshes? And put on my Mary Poppins, take my Mary Poppins umbrella outside and get my workout in. But it's wonderful. I tell you, it's the off season, but it's not really an off season. There isn't an off season anymore in any sport. So we've got a lot of topics to cover today here. I hope I can help you answer some of the questions. I understand you got some questions from some of our listeners.
We definitely did. And if you guys have any questions out there, podcast@uscfootball.com is the email address. We will always try to get to your questions. We have a few that came in. And before we go any further, I just wanted to thank our sponsor for this segment, Southern California Tickets, sctickets.com, 1-800-888-7287. If you need tickets for concerts, theater, sporting events, all of that stuff, give sctickets.com a try. We use them. We really like them. But last week, Coach, I asked people for some feedback because we've been going a little bit over a year now. I think the podcast has been successful. I didn't know anything about podcasting when we started this off. I know, you've done a whole lot of radio. I've done some radio, but, I've never done any podcasting before. I don't think you have either. So I was like, well, I want to see what people think. We've done it for a year. So I asked people, send in your feedback. I had a few questions that you could answer, and then, people sent in their own questions as well, just to kind of get a feel for what people like, what they don't like, what we can change, stuff like that. And I told people that, I'll send out as many T-shirts to people that send in feedback as we can. I am going to try to send out a T-shirt to everybody that sent in feedback. We got a lot of them, but I just bought a whole bunch of envelopes so I can stick T-shirts in them and hopefully send them out to everybody. That'd be nice. But thank you, everyone that did send in your feedback. But, Coach, I wanted to kind of share some of that with you. I mean, you're pretty popular, Coach, though. I think your segment, I think, got the most positive feedback.
Well, I tell you, first of all, I want to admit to you, I don't know what a podcast is still, okay? to me, this is like radio, okay? Now, you call it podcast or whatever else you want to call it. But to me, it's a radio interview. It's where you have fun. It's like having a staff meeting. It's like getting together and having coffee or something. So you explain sometime to me what a podcast is off the air, okay?
I can definitely do that, Coach. And, I really didn't know, and I was really surprised by some of the feedback because when I started this, I have an engineering background, so gadgets and software and stuff doesn't really intimidate me all that much. So I went out and bought a little mixing board, some microphones, just did some research online, and boom, we started off. And I think we've sounded fairly professional from the beginning. A lot of the feedback we got was indicating that, saying that, yes, it does sound, fairly professional and they like the way it comes together. And, of course, the reason people listen to this is you can't get a lot of USC information out there, especially during the off season. And, to be able to listen to basically a USC show at least once a week, I think that's something that a lot of the USC fans out there really appreciated.
No, I agree, and not only that, a lot of people who listen probably live out of the L.A. area. And, if you live out of the L.A. area, you don't get the up-to-date information if you're an SC fan or a football fan because you're not around L.A. to hear it either on radio or read it in the newspapers or so on. So you can get it on USCFootball.com year-round.
That's true. That's what we're out there to do. And this is kind of an extension of that. You know, if you do like talk radio, a lot of people do like sports talk radio. This is kind of the same thing. And, you know, I was curious how people listened, Coach, because, you know, obviously we're not on, you know, you can't turn on the radio dial, but you can listen to on your computer if you, you know, if you're at work, you want to put your headphones on. A lot of people do download it from iTunes, though. So, I mean, probably almost half of the people that wrote in do listen to it from iTunes, which if you have an iPod, that's like the music store. And Coach, they put the podcast up there for free. So instead of, you know, if you want to buy a song, it's like 99 cents. But a lot of podcasts are up there for free. So they'll subscribe to it. And every time they log into iTunes, if there's a new episode, it automatically downloads to their computer and then to their mobile device. So a lot of people listen to it on iTunes and they download it to either their iPhone or their iPod. And then while they're at work, I mean, or walking the dog or at the gym, then they listen to the show. So I was surprised as many people listen to it that way as they do on the computer.
That surprises me too, but good. As you get that workout in, or if you're in the traffic or whatever, just put us on. We'll be happy to satisfy your needs. But call us or however you get the questions. How do they get the questions to you?
The email, podcast@uscfootball.com. But, Coach, that's a good point. I'd love to get a setup like a digital kind of answering service where people could at least call in, or maybe we could even get them while we tape the show calling. I'm going to work on that, but I'd like to get people's voices on here besides just reading their questions. But that's something I'm working on now.
Good, good, good. Well, I'll always give you assignments like that because I can't figure it out. So, you know, I'll have you, since you have an engineering background, figure that out for us, okay?
Sure. And some of the other general feedback, there was a lot of love for you, Coach Harvey Hyde, and Gerard Martinez. People love his recruiting updates. Dan Wyke, we always tease him, but he got a lot of positive feedback as well. So people do. Like some people said, Dan isn't that bad, so that's not too bad for Dan. So, we've got to give Dan some love. But they also like the special guests we bring in every once in a while. And we try to do that. We try to mix it up. Bring in beat writers that cover USC, national college football people, you know, around the draft, of, you know, bring in any kind of draft experts. I try to do all of that just to give USC fans kind of an overall perspective of what's going on in the program.
Good, you really do. And really, you know, when you call me or when we get together to do this every week, I really don't know what you're going to throw at me or what it is. So it's really off the cuff. It isn't like, you know, we prepared it or anything. It's what the people out there want to hear if they do call in or email you or whatever. So, you know, we'll answer the questions. We don't have any special format. We just like to talk about football and the activities surrounding football.
We do enjoy that. Now, the first time I met you up at the Burger Continental, Coach, that was just a lot of fun. And I think just that's how we got it all started. And I'm really glad you've been a part of this whole process. And it's helped me a lot, especially with all your radio experience. And, you know, we grow and grow as we do this. And hopefully the fans keep enjoying it.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm honored to be a part of USCFootball.com. When you're having fun, that's what it's all about.
All right. Well, one of the pieces of feedback, when I also asked what people didn't like or what you'd like to see, and we hadn't had any coaches on, USC coaches on the podcast for quite a while. And so there's kind of a unique opportunity. Three new coaches. Jeremy Bates is the new quarterback coach. Brian Schneider is the new special teams coordinator. And Jethro Franklin is he's returning as a defensive line coach. And Dan Wyke, who we just mentioned, the USCFootball.com beat writer, was down on campus yesterday. They had a workout. We were down there filming and stuff. But Dan got to sit down with all three of those coaches, talked to each of them about 15, 20 minutes each. And we put up a little special podcast, Coach. It's called the Trojan Blast. It's not our weekly show, but every once in a while we'll add something to it. I mean, just to add a separate show, like kind of a special show. We put this up last night, and the fans can go on there. You can still go to peristylepodcast.com, but if you want to listen, if you want to hear from all three of the new coaches at USC, we have all up there now. Have you met any of those guys yet, Coach?
You know, I have not, but I'm really looking forward to meeting them. I hear nothing but great things about them. All I know is I remember Jethro Franklin when he played at Fresno State. He played at Fresno State, then, of course, went into coaching and was at SC once before, and now is back coaching the defensive line at USC. I've watched him coach. These other two coaches, no, I'm not familiar with, but I've been checking them out, okay? I've been checking them out with a lot of friends that have worked with him or been on the same staff with him or so on, and I get a lot of positive responses from people that I really trust. I mean, I'll ask these coaches the type of question, would you hire them? Would you have them on your staff? What would they bring to you? Why would you hire them? And these are personal friends of mine, and they tell me. And most responses I have gotten, it's been tremendous on Jeremy Bates. A young coach, 32 years old. I don't want to ruin the interview and everything that you're having coming up, but I tell you, he's got a lot of vigor, a lot of energy. He's a player's type of coach. He's very knowledgeable about the game of football. I think he's going to bring a lot of enthusiasm, new ideas. He's been around football all his life. His dad's a football coach. And I mean, he's an honest type of kid. Like you said, I don't know that much about college football.
No,
I haven't been in college football.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's going to learn. But he's going to bring a lot of pro ideas as far as the game and keeping the defense off balance and how to face a lot of these things that are happening on the defensive side of the football, where everybody in college is now going to the pros and stealing their ideas. Like Monty Kiffin was on campus, I think, a couple of days this week. The defensive coordinator now at Tennessee with Coach Pete Carroll. I don't know if that's a secret or not. But
no, not at all.
Well,
yeah. No, not at all. It's not.
Okay. So I'm just putting it out there because, and I think Jeremy Bates and I think the special teams coach is going to be great because you need to have a special teams coach. So you relieve your other coaches of the responsibility of having to look at the punt team or put the punt block in or all the different things that teams do while the other staffs have a coach working full time at it. So I think it's great the moves Coach Carroll has made. I think the coaching staff overall now will be stronger than it was in the past. And a lot of people say, how can I say that? Well, that's just a prediction. I think that it'll be enthusiastic. I think coaches like when they come into a new situation and they appreciate what they have. And they've been other people, they're enthusiastic, and players like to play for new personalities. And sometimes change is good, and I think in this situation, the change at USC is going to be positive.
I'm really excited too, Coach, especially, Bates seems like a cool guy, never been in college, and he seems kind of excited to try it out. And, you know, the biggest thing for him, I think, was learning new terminology because it's the same offense, but he's got to go back. He's pretty much in school right now trying to learn you know, the different kind of terminology that they use because they use the traditional West Coast stuff, you know, through his whole coaching career. You know, you had Gruden and Shanahan, stuff like that. But for Schneider, I mean, I really have felt over the years that they needed a full-time special team coach. And I think having him in there, and if you listen to the interviews, all the interviews are up on peristylepodcast.com. It's just the Trojan Blast new coaches interviews. So you can check them all out if you want to hear from all three of these guys. But I'm excited to see what that would be because I think it's going to bring a different kind of dimension, especially this year when there's going to be some questions on the defensive side of the ball. I think that field position, the extra field position you get from all those special teams plays could really play a big part.
I agree with you 100%. And he was at UCLA for a while, a special teams coach, and he knows the Pac-10, and he's been in the pros enough to learn what's happening on that level too in the NFL. And I think he'll bring all that knowledge to USC on the special teams, and I think they'll get a lot better, and there'll be more enthusiasm when you coach it too, rather than it being another extra assignment on top of the duties you have. Now you got a guy blowing a whistle and running around with a blowhorn or whatever he is that's serious about it and takes the responsibilities about it and is nervous about it. And if it doesn't work, Coach Carroll's looking at him, so it's going to be better. So I think it's going to be great, and I think Jethro Franklin has a lot of experience coaching the defensive line. And I think you've got to be able to play the defensive line. I think you've got to be able to coach that most of your life. And Nick Holt was a great coach. He's a very good friend of mine. But he was a linebacker coach, basically, coaching the defensive line and trying to be the coordinator at the same time, along with Dave Watson helping him. And I don't know if that was just in the mix right. Not that the defense didn't have a great year. Maybe it's one of the best defenses of all time. But remember, it's the player. It's not always the coach. It's the jockey. Or it's the horse. It's not always the jockey. But when there's a combination, they're the favorite. And I think when you get that type of combination, which Coach Carroll, I think, has put together here, I think it's going to be a great, exciting year of Trojan football because everyone is waiting and anticipating what is going to happen. I think that's part of the great thrill of college football.
I agree with you 100%, Coach. And so if you guys want to check it out, peristylepodcast.com, you can hear the interviews of all three of the new coaches at USC. Coach, there was a few questions we wanted to that the fans sent in. Would you mind answering a couple of them?
No, I don't even have a clue what they are either.
All right. Well, hopefully they won't be too surprising. Paul from Santa Ana actually sent this in a few weeks ago, and I forgot about it, so I wanted to get to it. But his question was basically about the secondary. You know, he feels there's good athletes and stuff in the secondary, but he wondered, you know, there's not as many interceptions. Do you feel that that's just kind of the defensive scheme, or what's going on there? Why aren't they getting as many picks in the secondary?
Well, I you know, that's always – first of all, when you play a lot of man coverage, you don't get a lot of picks, okay? And I think they're playing more man coverage now than they ever played before because you're basically covering the receiver and you're not looking at the ball. And you are looking at the ball when you turn around now. You have to do that, don't get me wrong, but you're covering a man and his moves and so on. So most of your interceptions will come from your safeties or backers or so on. When you play a lot of zone, then you get more interceptions. But I think that the teams are more careful on how they throw on USC. I think the number one thing is interceptions are important with the turnovers, but coverage, too, is the number one thing. You know, if you remember last year, I don't think – correct me if I'm wrong – I don't know how many long passes they had completed on them. Did they have any long touchdown passes last year completed on them?
I think Arizona State had one, and, yeah, there, I mean, there wasn't very many at all. That's
right.
One thing they've been limiting is the big passes as opposed to getting more picks.
That's exactly right. And when you play a lot of man, you have to rely a lot on your underneath coverages and so on and your free safeties, and they play Taylor Mays so deep that it is tough to get a lot of interceptions. And a lot of times when you play quarterbacks that throw the ball pretty good, they don't throw bad balls. And they when you throw a lot of short balls, it's difficult to get that interception. But I think when you play better quarterbacks and you get great coaching offensively, you see less turnovers that way. You get more of your turnovers now if you, at least I get a feeling of this, by stripping the football, by fumbles, by sacking the quarterback and stripping the football. You get a lot of turnovers that way now. You don't get as many interceptions, I don't feel, as you had in the past. You don't see as much zone defense now. I think zones are good. They're a safe way of playing. But when you play a great team, they drive down the field and they nickel dime you to death. You remember they played that coverage a couple of years ago at SC, and SC took a lot of criticism on that. But they didn't score a lot of points because Pete Carroll's philosophy is you can't go 80 yards on us. One year, I think the quarterback from Cal completed 26 straight passes against the zone defense, but then SC beat them in the last seconds of that game when he didn't complete that very important pass. So, you know, turnovers are created, I think, more in the stripping of the football now, sacking the quarterback, recovering fumbles. You don't see as many interceptions. Now, I don't know that as a fact. I'm not going to – because I don't look at the stats. I don't study the stats like – a lot of people tell you, no, that's not true, Coach. Last year there was 13 out of 18, this and that. I don't know that. They might have – some teams might get more interceptions, but I don't see the Trojans getting them.
All right. Well, thanks, Coach. And we had another question from Justin. He wanted to know who you think of all the skill position players is going to step up this year and be an impact player, guys like McKnight, Stephon Johnson, C.J. Gable, Rojo, David Osbury, Havili, any of those guys. Who do you think is going to be, obviously with Mark Sanchez gone, they're going to need someone from that skill position group to step up. Who do you think that could be this year?
Well, if you want to say the rookie of the year, okay?
I like that.
I'm going to call it the rookie of the year, I think, is going to be Tyler, the running back.
Mark Tyler.
Okay. If they give him the opportunity that I hope they give him, he is going to be the surprise package. He is going to be the one everyone knows USC has, and they're hoping he doesn't get that opportunity. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm hoping I hope he stays in the background because he's been injured. But I tell you, he hasn't got his real chance. When he did get his real chance and perform, man, I'll tell you what, he looked great towards the end of the year. And I'll tell you, he is the real deal. Not that the others aren't the real deal, but you asked me to pick someone who's going to maybe shined, and no one expects to shine this year. If they line him up and let him have his turns, I'm going to tell you that's why Green transferred. That's why Gable wanted to go out early, because they know this kid is a great player. Okay, I think this kid is going to be the surprise package rookie of the year. Not to say Williams isn't going to have a great year and Johnson's not going to have a great year and all that. We all know they're great players, okay? But offensively, Tyler has the potential to be the all Pac-10 running back that SC has not had. Now, what I mean, they have had great backs, but they haven't played one enough to get the recognition of being all Pac-10 or all American. When's the last all Pac-10 back? Help me out here. That was at SC. Reggie Bush, of course. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, like they used to have one every year. But they're rotating so many players now, it's very difficult for them to have an all-league player, because that player doesn't have the stats. But if they let Tyler play regularly, he is the short yardage guy. He is the home run guy. He's got hands. I'm telling you, he will be the atomic bomb to go along and assist the new rookie quarterback.
Wow, Coach, that's really interesting. We'll have to see. We're actually going to put up some video from their players-only practice coming up on the site, probably on Wednesday or Thursday, today or tomorrow. We'll have some video. We got several shots of Mark Tyler catching balls out of the backfield and stuff, so you can check him out. He looks healthy out there, Coach, and that's a very, very interesting pick. And I guess this leads into our next question. This is from Albert. He wanted to know, is SC going to focus on the run game more this season simply because the USC has a new quarterback taking over?
I think they should. I think they should early. I think they need to emphasize the running game. They need to really make that be a major part of their offense. I don't feel they have believed in the running game. I think they run the running game the last 2 years under Sarkisian. I think they, oh, yes, we run the football, but only if you have to. I don't believe they've really wanted to play what you call smash mouth, where your offensive line knows, hey, it's third down or it's first down on the one. There is no way that we aren't going to score. There is just no way. We're not going to spread the field and throw the ball. We are going to tell you where we're coming and get off the football and run it in there. And if it's second and six, you're going to run the football and have the confidence in your offensive line and the confidence in the running game that you can rely on the running game if your passing game is not there. Now, what that does when you have that type of running game, it makes it a lot more easier for your passing game to work. So why not emphasize the running game? Why not make it a very powerful part of your offense, especially when you have a young quarterback with great receivers? Because if they play off those receivers just a little bit or make a mistake or try to fill off tackle, you can't recover to cover Williams, recover to or Johnson or McCoy or some of these guys. There is no way. And that will give a lot of confidence to the quarterbacks. Because they go into the game thinking, oh, I don't have to throw the ball every down. Or, oh, if I have an off day, we're going to get beat. No, they have confidence that we can run the football. Plus, the play action pass will be a lot better for them, and they'll feel more comfortable. And also, I'd love to see them put in under Jeremy Bates, and I hope he brings this package with him, because Sarkisian did not have this in his package. And when I mean that, when you drop back and pass the football, you got to keep the defense off balance. And the defense never felt off balance because they never had what you call a successful draw play, or two or three different types of draw plays: regular draw, trap draw, quick draw, seven-step draw, where the defense had to have someone aware of the draw. Because when you run the draw play, you can run play action pass off the draw play. When the backers step up to stop the draw, you've got the curl, you've got all the underneath, but your backers are gone. They can't just drop back out of there, but you have a real effective draw package. And that has been something SC hasn't had. Now, they ran the draw maybe 10 times the entire season, but they didn't believe in it. They didn't perfect it. And the other teams knew they didn't have to stop it because they really aren't going to run it much. So why take away something you're not going to run? But if you develop that, then that'll help the quarterbacks too. because the quarterbacks can keep them off balance with the draw. And I think that's what you need to do with this young group of quarterbacks. Very talented group, but you got to play to their talent. You can't put all the pressure on them right away that I've got to go out and throw the ball or we're not going to win. That quarterback's got to feel like we can do it all, and I'm just a part of it.
Well, great stuff, Coach, as always. And hopefully the fans out there, a little more educated on USC football. And, Coach, you're a little more educated on podcasts. I think we did a lot today.
We did a lot today. and, you know, I feel bad because our time is up. And I hope we didn't, you know, slight anybody that sent in a question or anything.
No, we're good. I think those are the questions we had for this week. And, you know, we appreciate everyone. Send them in, podcast@uscfootball.com. And, Coach, thank you very much for answering them for everybody.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ryan. And let's thank Southern California Ticket Service again.
Definitely. Thank you, Coach. Thank sctickets.com for sponsoring this segment. Everyone else, we will be back in 30 seconds talking recruiting with USC Football's Gerard Martinez.
Meet us on the other side of the break for more of the Peristyle Podcast. Tickets, tickets, tickets. SC Tickets is your concert, sports, and theater ticket source. We have the tickets you need to any event worldwide. Football tickets are now available. Call SC Tickets now at 1-800-888-7287. 1-800-888-7287. That's 1-800-888-7287. Or visit us on the web at sctickets.com. SC Tickets, concert, sports, and theater. We now return to the Peristyle Podcast and your host, Ryan Abraham.
Welcome back to the Peristyle Podcast. In this segment, we have uscfootball.com recruiting analyst Gerard Martinez joining us. What's going on, Gerard?
Nothing much, just getting on top of 2010 and my taxes.
Yes, spring football always is fun, but then it's always tax season, which I don't like. But your monthly feature, the watch list coming out, the target list, 2010 offensive and defensive target list, hit uscfootball.com today. Wanted to kind of go over those a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of detail in there, so if you want to go to uscfootball.com, check it out. You get all the information on all the guys that are on the watch list, but we just wanted to hit a few highlight points, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, you don't want to get into too much detail. I can tell that already.
Well, there's a lot of detail in there. So, you know, they can check it out on the site, but wanted to at least give people a flavor of kind of what was going on. It looks like, in general, there's a lot more offers on the offensive side of the ball out from USC than on the defensive side of the ball. You think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah. Last year, the 2009 class was basically a defensive class. So this class, you're going to see a lot more offensive offers go out there, and you're going to see positions where they want to recruit more depth for the offense, you know, running back and receiver specifically.
Okay, and then quarterback position up top, no offers out there yet. You don't expect them to take a quarterback in the 2010 class, is that right?
Oh, no, I do. I definitely think they're going to take a quarterback. I think it's just a matter of evaluation. I think that it's a very, very important position. I think Jeremy Bates wants to get out on the road and see some of these guys in person. I think John Morton wants to see some of these guys in person. I think where USC sits, they don't have to play the guessing game with recruits. And with the quarterback position being as important as it is, they love Peter Thomas, 6'6", 210 quarterback out of San Diego. He's a big pro-style kind of guy. You got Tyler Shreve, who a lot of people think is maybe the second-best quarterback in California. He's a big, tall kid, too. He's about 6'4", 6'5", 200 pounds, but he's more of an athlete out of Redlands East Valley High School. So you've got two different types of quarterbacks, but both are supposed to be pretty good. And then you've got a lot of guys that can round out, you know, that come of age kind of during the spring that you want to get on the trail and you want to see in person. So I think that's really more – I think that's more important for them right now. Not so much, you know, well, we're not happy with, you know, who we're seeing. It's just you don't want to see more of it. They don't want to play a guessing game. They want to offer somebody and feel very confident and very comfortable with it.
All right. And the running back position, you know, a few offers out there, but it looks like they're, you know, fairly complete with Dylan Baxter and DJ Morgan already committed to USC.
They feel pretty good. I mean, you know, Dylan Baxter is just a tremendous, tremendous player. Saw him, you know, the other week, and he's about 6 foot now, about 200 pounds. But he might be one of the best receivers in the country, if not just California, but in the country. He's so smooth in his routes. He's not a blazer. He's not a big time, you know, streaky type guy that's going to get down the field. He's a little more of a work it in slant. He runs a tree really well for a running back, the passing tree. I mean, he can run just about any route, and he runs and doesn't slow down on his breaks. He's just fundamentally spectacular for a guy that's really playing running back most of his career in high school. So he's a guy that can kind of go into that slot. He can be a running back. He can do it all. D.J. Morgan's kind of the same. We saw D.J. Morgan at the football university camp at the Coliseum a couple weeks ago, and really, you know, in a camp setting like that, you want to see a guy play receiver, because running back, there's no contact. And with running backs, you got to see somebody, you know, with pads on hitting somebody to really know what a running back can do. So in that case, he went to receiver, and he was really good. He looked a little Ronald Johnson-esque in getting downfield and just running by people, but looking pretty good in his routes, not necessarily stiff like a track guy, but still looking like a good football player. So both those guys, they might have some future at receiver just as much as they have future at running back. And we put DJ Morgan's highlight tape up from Taft High School his junior year last year, 5'11", 170, 175. It's great film. I mean, it's like Dylan Baxter film. I mean, that's why these guys got offers and they committed early, because USC didn't have to see any more of them. They are that good. And then you have Lake Seastrunk out of Temple, Texas, who's a little smaller, about that 5'10", 195-pound range, extremely explosive, though. Whereas DJ Morgan is a guy that accelerates and has that top-end speed. Lake has that bottom-end speed, that quickness, that can you make a cut and he's taken off on you so quick that he can really be a home run threat. And he's kind of got a little more of what USC fans always search for, Reggie speed, in that, you know, he's going to make a move and then he's going to be gone and he's not going to be able to catch him. You're not going to be able to get angles on him because he's quick as he is fast. And so they have, you know, a great shot. Obviously, the two guys that are committed, those guys are in the bag. They haven't wavered. They don't look like they're going to waver. We'll see. Obviously, we learned that from 2009. But Lake Seastrunk being the big gem, they have a really good shot at him, too. So Malcolm Jones is another guy that got an offer. Anthony Barr got an offer. Both those guys are bigger guys. Anthony Barr, 6'4", 230, at Loyola High School. He might be a little more of a – he's a more of an athlete. There's a lot of speculation as to where he's going to be. People are calling him a five-star, but it's five-star what? You know, is he going to be a five-star running back at 6'4"? I mean, in college, that's really tough to say. I'd love to see him play some linebacker maybe, and if he could tackle and show that he had quickness and aggressiveness on the defensive side of the ball, then you really get excited, because that's a great position. Got a lot of ties to Notre Dame. A lot of people think he's headed off to Notre Dame. We'll see, you know, how that goes. Malcolm Jones is the guy that got the most recent offer from USC. He's about 6 foot, 210. He's kind of a – I think I look at him more like a Stanley Avili type. I don't know that he's going to be a pure running back in USC system. I think he's a guy that they can kind of pop around, maybe using the F, a little more of an H-back type guy. But he's had a great year last year at Oaks Christian High School in West Village, California.
Westlake Village, yeah.
He's the brother of Marshall Jones, who is at USC right now playing safety, might end up playing corner. But from all the information I get with Malcolm, sounds like he's leaning maybe towards Stanford. So we'll see. At this point, you know, the three big guys that they're going after, Baxter, Morgan, and Seastrunk, USC's got a great shot at all of those guys.
Yeah, we got to see Jones in person a couple of years ago, actually going against Curtis Moody McNeil. And Jones was really impressive. I think he must have been a freshman then. He was still impressive at playing running back there. And Seastrunk's the kid, I believe, if you told the story, he was wearing like the USC socks at the Army All-American Combine down in Texas. He's a kid out of Temple, Texas.
Yeah, Lake Seastrunk loves his USC gear, but we'll see what happens. I think it ends up being an LSU-USC battle, and it'll be interesting. He's actually went up to Cal's Junior Day a couple weekends ago. Maybe it was just last weekend. And so he's looking around, and you know, all the stuff about USC, it's a lot of hype, you know, at this time of year. You really can't get sucked into that. He's a guy that's got interest from everywhere in Texas. The Longhorns are just after him really, really hard. I don't think he's going to go to Texas. I don't think he's going to stay in state. I think it's going to be an LSU-USC battle.
All right. Well, that may be the most interesting position, both sides of the ball, this year. Wide receivers, you know, USC's got a few offers out there, some big-name guys. When I guess at the top of the list is Robert Woods, who I got to talk to him a little bit at the Narbonne Birmingham CIF playoff game. He was on the sidelines watching that game. But you know, he's a kid that could be maybe the number one player in the country.
Yeah, he's just a tremendous player. You know, on and off the field, he's one of those guys that's really a true leader, a really good kid. You can see that he gets it. You know, just the bigger picture, I think, with him. And when he steps on the football field, he's the kind of kid that can make plays anywhere on the field. I mean, we've seen him score touchdowns on fumble recoveries, interceptions, punt returns, obviously receptions and running the ball, but he does it in little ways just as much as he does it in the big ways. So he's a guy that's just a great overall athlete, a great guy to try to get in your program. It's just going to be a war for him, I think, in the Pac-10. You're going to have Cal. You're going to have UCLA. Everybody kind of wants to just push him away from USC and say, oh, you know, there's this other school that he's really liking. I mean, USC is going to be there. He's an SC fan. I think it's just a matter of SC getting him to sit down and kind of discussing the opportunities that he has at USC and really putting the recruiting pitch and the blueprint for him forward. That's going to be the difference, I think, in his recruitment. But they're going after, you know, Marquise Ambles is from Georgia, McDonough, Georgia, Henry County High School, about 6'1", 185-pound receiver. A lot of these guys that we're looking at in this class, which is going to be intriguing, we're going to have a write-up on this pretty soon because it's becoming intriguing. There's so many slot receivers in 2010. There's a lot of guys that are more slot receivers than there are flankers. I mean, the only guys that I'm seeing that are flankers, the biggest name out there is, at this point right now, you know, obviously it's very early in the evaluation process, Darius White from Fort Worth, Texas, who's 6'4", 205 pounds, big, lanky kid that, you know, a lot of people are offering. USC has yet to offer him. I think that's going to eventually change. Big-time basketball player. But that's the only guy that with real legitimate height that we're looking at, you know, on this target list that seems to be a real special talent. Everybody else is in that 6'6", 1 range, it seems, and they're more or less slot receivers. Now, it works for USC in one way because they're going to be losing Ronald Johnson. They're going to be losing Damian Williams. They're going to be losing Trevon Patterson. They've got a lot of guys. They've got a real top-heavy junior class, and there are a lot of slot receivers there. So I think the success of Damian Williams and the success of Ronald Johnson playing there in the same rotation, you know, a three wide receiver set being on the field at the same time, it expands that Z receiver position that USC plays. So they're going to be able to recruit more guys like that. But at the same time, how many guys do you want to recruit that are kind of in the same mold? And how it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to stack that position. So you got a lot of guys. Trevon Reed, he's going to get an offer pretty soon. He's from Thibodaux, Louisiana, 6'1", 175. We saw him at the Army Combine. He ran a 4.5 flat on a very slow field. He's got great swagger. He's got great breaks in his routes. He's got good hands. He's really probably one of the best athletes overall on this board. USC offered Christian Green really early in the process. He plays quarterback at 6'2", about 200 pounds from Tampa, Florida, and he's a guy that's kind of got the Peter Warwick kind of thing going. Great moves in space, but again, not a guy that doesn't have a lot of height, so he's going to be more of a slot receiver. So, you know, we'll see how it kind of develops. It's going to be very interesting because there are some good receivers in this class, and it's just going to be interesting to see the strategy as how USC starts to go after them and the priority in which they send out offers.
Now, there's a lot of out-of-state guys, too, so, I mean, that's going to be interesting as well if they have to drop down the board. I mean, what about a guy? I mean, I don't know if he could play the flanker or slot, but like a Kimbrell Tompkins from Torrance.
Well, now, Kimbrell Tompkins is a JC guy that's actually originally from Miami Northwestern High School. So he's out here, I think, at El Camino Junior College, and that's a guy that's kind of he's got a lot of ties back east. He's got an offer from Florida. Florida's recruiting him hard already, so that's going to be kind of an interesting thing. USC is very reluctant to go hard after junior college players. There's got to be a lot of research done on their transcripts and where their grades are at. So that's going to be something that is going to put them behind the eight ball probably immediately from a lot of those teams back in Florida if Kimbrell Thompson wants to go back to Florida.
All right, so a lot of interesting stuff at wide receiver, especially with the out-of-state ties, even with Tompkins there. If we went tight ends, you know, I think, you know, losing Morrell Presley last year, and, you know, we can talk about Orson Charles coming in for 2009. I mean, he's still, and we can, I guess we can briefly touch on that now. He's supposed to decide this week. So if USC gets him, I mean, that could change what happens on the tight end class. But if they don't, I mean, it becomes more of an important kind of position. And we did have a reader question that came in, and they wanted to know if USC was going to offer C.J. Fedorowicz out of Illinois. Is he a kid that's going to – he's a big kid, 6'7", 240 or so. Is he a kid you think going to get a USC offer here?
I think he's high on the list. I think that he's definitely a possibility. We'll kind of see. It's going to be difficult. I mean, he's coming from Illinois, and it just seems like Notre Dame has a lot of pull there. And so, you know, USC doesn't want to spin their wheels on guys necessarily, but that's definitely a top guy nationally. Christian Thomas, they've already offered. He's a little more of a kind of H-back type guy. He's 6'3", probably more really like 6'2.5", about 235. Really fast, really quick, kind of an explosive guy. Played both sides of the ball really well last year up there in Palmdale. Plays for, I think it was Highland High School, which is in Palmdale, Lancaster area. But he's a guy that's really dynamic, but not really the prototypical tight end because he doesn't have the height, the 6'4", 6'5". The guy who's more prototype is Randall Telfer from Ranch Cucamonga High School, who's about 6'4", a legitimate 220, blocks well, really high cut. He's got a long stride. I like his potential a lot just because of that height and kind of what he could grow into. I think he'd be 240 pretty quickly and not lose a lot of his speed. And the kid's still learning. I mean, he's just starting to learn to play football. And he showed up at USC's junior day with a USC sweatshirt on. So we're going, he likes USC. but supposedly he's going to be at UCLA for their ninth junior day get together this weekend. So we'll see. Kind of maybe he has a UCLA sweatshirt too. The tight end position. It's very important. I think it's very important even regardless of what Orson Charles does, to be honest with you. You know, Orson Charles is down to his last three, which is going to be Tennessee, USC, Georgia. He's going to announce Friday. It's really hard to get a feel for where he's leaning towards. A lot of people feel Georgia. And a lot of the latest updates have been coming from Georgia, and we've been hearing, a lot about how comfortable he is with the coaching staff because they've been recruiting him so long. And obviously, in this top three, I mean, you have Tennessee. Lane Kiffin just got the job at Tennessee. So that recruiting process for Orson Charles did start till late. USC has actually been in touch with Orson a lot sooner than people realize. I mean, they were talking to him over in May. So they've had a little bit of a relationship with them. I just think that, over the summer and during the season, there was kind of a break in communication because they had Morrell Presley and they had other guys that were really trying to recruit hard. But obviously, when Morrell Presley decommitted and went to UCLA, that opened up the door for, hey, we need to get a guy badly. I mean, they just need to. They've got, three guys on the roster right now that are scholarship guys. They got Red Ellison. They've got Anthony McCoy, and then they've got Blake Ailes. Those are really the top three guys that they're going to have in there, and they're going to be losing Anthony McCoy here. So it's pretty pertinent that they get a tight end in this class. And I think if they don't get a tight end in this class, being 2009 Orson Charles, they might have to go after two guys in the next class. So that's going to be a place where, again, kind of like quarterback, they're gonna wait on it a little bit, and they're gonna really want to see what they can get out of it. What guys are going to be out there? They've already got one offer out there to Christian Thomas. I don't foresee them just jumping after another offer until maybe you see the evaluation process come around and you get the coaches on the road and they get to see those guys in person.
All right, should be some interesting offensive linemen in this class as well. A couple of big names on the top of the list. Jake Matthews out of Texas, Chaz Green out of Florida. Both of those guys have USC offers. The one guy I wanted to ask you about, a story went up this week on USCfootball.com. Dak Smith out of Compton, 6'7", 335, big kid. Can you tell us a little about him?
Dakota Smith, yeah, he's the son of Toddy Smith, the late Toddy Smith, who died in 1999. He's the nephew of Bubba Smith, who was a great NFL player. And, what can you say? He's a legacy. And he came down to USC for their junior day and said he was verbally offered by Pete Carroll and basically verbally committed on that. We're going to wait and say he's an official commit when he gets his written offer. I'm a little more comfortable with that. But he's definitely a guy that is unique. I mean, what do you do with a guy that's 6'7", over 335 pounds? I mean, he's supposedly going to be playing nose tackle. It's a position that they talked about him coming in and recruiting at. I still like him a little more on the offensive line. I think that's going to be where his highest ceiling is. So on the target list, we've kept him on the offensive line. But he's a guy that it's just a matter of when and not if. He's definitely in love with USC and going to be a guy that he believes cardinal and gold. We're just going to have to see, if the coaching staff waits a little bit on getting him a written offer and seeing where his weight is, because that's going to be the biggest thing, is making sure that he really wants to back up what he's saying with working out hard, staying in shape, and being disciplined that way. Because when you're already over 335 pounds as a high schooler, in a junior, you know, you got to be careful with that. So he's a guy that's kind of penciled in, I guess, lightly on the offensive line, defensive line. Then you've got Chaz Green, who's an offensive tackle that USC offered really early in the process. He was the first offensive lineman that they offered, and he's from Tampa, Florida. So that was, you know, out there looking at some other guys, probably Orson Charles. They got the chance to check out Chaz Green and get some tape on him, and they liked what they saw enough. Probably an offensive tackle, 6'5", 290 pounds. Jake Matthews got an offer not too long ago. I think he's the most recent offer. There's only two offers on the offensive line right now, and he's about 6'5", 275, probably a true tackle. A lot of people love him in Texas. They think he's going to be, you know, the best offensive lineman in Texas. University of Texas has tried really hard to get him committed early and tried just about every trick in the book they could do to get him to commit early. They've got 19 commitments in their class already. They wanted to make him 20. He's not biting. It sounds like it's going to be Texas A&M or USC. It's just a matter of whether he wants to stay close to home. Bruce Matthews is his father. Clay Matthews, obviously, being his uncle. He has a lot of ties, family ties to USC. I think USC is in a pretty good position right now once they get him out to the camp and he gets to see the basically the scheme and just get comfortable around the coaching staff. He's taken unofficial visits to USC before, so he knows what it's about to a certain extent. It's just a matter, you know, leaving home and playing away from home, and that's really right now the only other option he has is Texas A&M for that. There's a lot of other guys on the board, you know, some good offensive linemen that USC's being really careful with as far as offers and not getting too crazy and going after guys too early. Central Henderson, a lot of people talk about being the best offensive lineman in the country, 6'8", 300 pounds, plays out there in Minnesota, you know, not the hotbed of football that, you know, Florida, California, Texas is. And I think that that's something that, you know, is probably maybe slowed the roll a little bit on his offer. They want to evaluate him more probably in person, but he's a really good player. Evan Washington's a guy that, you know, has a lot of he has some ties to Ken Norton Jr. because his father played for the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, there's like another guy, maybe an offensive tackle, a guy that's probably right now it sounds like it's a plan B for the University of Texas if Texas can't get Jake Matthews. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Evan Washington. And you go down the line, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of good players out there. It seems a little more of a national year, not a ton of great guys in-state. But and it's a year probably where USC wants to get three or four guys because they only got two guys in the last class. So it'll be, you know, kind of a normal recruiting year in terms of the numbers and kind of how USC goes about offering guys and who they go after and how hard they go after those guys. There's going to be, obviously, I think, emphasis on the camps.
Now, Gerard, just a kind of general question. We're going to have to talk about the defensive target list next week when we get you on. But
come on.
We're
gonna tease people like that.
We covered so much on the offense, but a lot of Texas guys I noticed on your board, and Texas already has 19 commitments from the class of, you know, for their class of 2010. So none of these guys obviously fit into that mix there. Do you feel that the guys that Texas have offered, I mean, these are like the higher end guys that Texas hasn't got to commit yet, or what's the story with that?
Honestly, I think so. I mean, a lot of the better players that the guys that have in of the 19 guys that Texas has committed, USC wasn't really looking at most of them, 16 of them. I mean, there's really most of those guys are just guys that weren't really – I mean, some of those guys weren't even really offered by other schools or looked at other schools. Now, obviously, Texas has the edge on evaluation on their own state, you know, being the big dog in the state of Texas, they're going to have, they're going to be ahead of the curve as far as knowing, you know, who's the top guys and who's not. But they've gone after Darius White hard. They've gone after Jake Matthews hard. There's a few guys that they've really gone after. Obviously, Lake Seastrunk, they really want to. Those guys have not committed early. The longer guys don't commit early, the less of a chance Texas seems to have of them. You know, Texas just doesn't like to recruit, I think, after the summer. So they like to get their class done. There'll be, you know, 24 commits or something like that by the time they're in September, and it kind of, that's the end of it. And they pressure guys. They want to get guys done early. They don't want to mess around into the season and be recruiting 2010 kids. They want to have that class done. And so, yeah, there's been some top guys. The majority of guys that USC is looking at, the majority of guys that are on the SE target list are still uncommitted. So those seem to be more of the national-type prospects. And the guys that Texas has had committed, a few of them, I mean, from an outside perspective, and like I said, Texas, University of Texas would know more than I or any other school as far as the evaluation of Texas goes, you would assume. But some of those guys are kind of head scratchers. You kind of look at it and go, oh, this is a guy that's interesting. I don't know why they went after that guy when they could have waited and maybe gone after this other guy, like a Darius White or even a DeAndre White is a kid that's from Houston that's just blazing fast. We just saw his film the other week, and he's tremendous. He might have some great issues, but 6 foot, 180, probably a 10'6", 100-meter guy. But when you watch him in football, man, that guy is explosive. And there's just those kind of players that – and Texas has been known to miss on guys because of their strategy to go on guys early and to throw their offers out there. There are guys that, you know, that pop up later in May and June and over the summer, and then, you know, it's kind of like already done. Texas has already got their class filled, and they kind of take that hit. But that's the way they do it, and that's the way they've done it.
All right. Well, Gerard, thank you very much for your time. And like we said, next week we're going to talk to you about the defensive target list. We also have just a little tease. We have Chris Carlisle is going to be coming on the show next week. So the USC strength and conditioning coaches should be a good show. So hopefully you guys can tune in for that. But thanks again, Gerard.
No problem.
All right, everyone else, we'll be back in 30 seconds talking to former USC kicker David Beeler, who tore it up at the NFL Combine.
You are listening to the Peristyle Podcast from Los Angeles, California.
Hey, USC Trojan fans, to get into the huddle of your Southern Cal Trojans, log on to uscfootball.com today for all the latest in Trojan football, basketball, and recruiting news. Ryan Abraham will give you an in-depth analysis, recruiting updates, and will answer your questions every day on the message board. So for all the latest in team and recruiting news on your USC Trojans, check out uscfootball.com, the officially licensed Southern Cal site of the Rivals.com network.
It's time to get back to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com.
Welcome back to the Peristyle Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham, and as promised, we have a very special guest with us this week. We have David Beeler, USC kicker the last few years, and he tore it up at the NFL Combine. David, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, yeah. So Indianapolis last week, you go out there. I mean, it's got to be a pretty unique experience for you. Can you take us back through a little bit and see what was it like going in there?
Well, I went in, you know, I got to talk to Tom Malone, Matt Spanos, you know, players I've been through it. I got to talk to Coach Snyder, you know, the new special teams coach here at SC that was with the Raiders for a while. So, you know, I got both perspectives, you know, a player that went through it and a coach that, you know, was coaching during the combine, you know, so and scouting and whatnot. So, I felt like I was pretty prepared going into it. I just had a professional mindset going in, you know, all I was thinking about is, you know, going in and get the job done. You know, I've been kicking for long enough, so my confidence was sky high. You know, I knew I could get the job done and go in there. And you know, it's just I put myself back out on Howard Jones. You know, that's what you guys do when you're in those pressured situations. You know, you're kicking in front of 300, you know, or 250 somewhere around there, coaches and special teams coaches, all the decision makers in the NFL. So I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, it'd be quite nerve wracking, but. I was relaxed going out there, and I just needed to get the job done, and that's what I did.
Yeah, it's kind of like the ultimate job interview there. I mean, obviously, it's you know could have a big impact on your future, and a lot of Trojan fans got to kind of get a glimpse of what it was like. If you haven't seen it, David did a four-part series, a blog series on PeteCarroll.com, and it was really interesting to kind of hear what he had to say after each day, how rushed they kind of were. Was that a fun experience for you doing that blogging?
Yeah. I got to do it with Ben Malcolmson, you know, going in the Shrine Game. So it was kind of the Shrine. I considered the Shrine Game kind of a warm up to the Combine, you know, because I was there with scouts and whatnot. And then me and Ben did the blog during the Shrine Game. So I mean, it was fun to interact with the fans. I got a lot of feedback, you know, emails. So a lot of people I could tell were supportive of it and liked it. So. I appreciated doing it, and, you know, I'd call Ben every night, kind of tell him how my day went, so it wasn't that much of a hassle on me. You know, Ben would write it up, so, I mean, it couldn't have been any better.
Yeah, I was just reading it. I went back and read it again just to refresh myself, and it was pretty interesting how you just kind of woke up, and you didn't even have a, you know, when you got there, you traveled all day, didn't have a chance to put your bags down, and there's all this weird drug testing going on where, and, you know, where they, you have to be in full frontal view, I guess you could say, of the guy who's, who's doing the testing and taking the Wonderlic. It just, all the stuff leading up to what you do on the field seemed kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, you know, to think about how all that stuff correlates to the on the field play. I mean, that's what they're really paying you for. But I mean, I can understand if they're investing $500,000 or whatever you get, at least $310,000, which is the league minimum. So if they're investing that much money in you, they want to know what kind of person you are. I mean, if you're a college student, I mean, I've never had that much money, you know, obviously. So I mean, going into it, they want to know that you're a level-headed kid, you know, going to spend it the right way, and you know, you don't have a criminal record, you know, and you're worthy of becoming an NFL player. So I mean, it's cool the process, you know, of going through it. It's well structured, very very professional, very very business savvy, and it's cool to go there and actually live it, you know. And I try to bring that to the SC fans and show them what I was going through, you know, make them part of the experience.
One of the the message boards always talk, you know, before the draft and the combine and all this stuff. One of the most, I mean, I guess the most popular topics is that Wonderlic test. And I think you went in there, you said it was 50 questions and you answered like 27 of them because you wanted to make sure you get them, the ones you did answer correctly. What was that like? And did they ever give you your score?
They haven't given me my score. I took one in the Shrine game as well and ended up answering 26. So I got one more question, but I'm usually a pretty slow test taker, so you know, I was trying to be methodical about it and take my time, but you can't really do that. I mean, you have 12 minutes to take it and there's 50 questions. Most people don't get to the end. I mean, it's pretty much like an SAT. So you're kind of going in there, you know, you have to think the question over, but you have to also be quick and efficient. But I believe I'm pretty confident in all 27 answers I got, you know, just because I worked them out and feel like I went in there and did well with the questions I answered.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good score. It's funny when people talk about it. I mean, do they actually inform you? Because it's always like there's always rumors of some guy got this low score or whatever, and it comes out later on.
I don't know when I'm going to get my score. Hopefully I didn't do too bad on it.
No, not you, but that's what usually people talk about. They want to talk about the guy who got an 8 or something on the test.
Exactly. I don't mean to put Vince Young out there, but I know that was the one rumor I heard of him not doing well. So I'm sure everybody kind of studied a little bit more after that happened and didn't want to be that guy, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk when you go in there after you do that kind of stuff. There's a lot of interviews, obviously, but they weigh you. You weighed in at 227, which you said that was a good, you know, weight for you, usually between 225 and 230. I guess the bench press and the 40 times are where people kind of, you know, they turned a few heads, where you put up 25 reps on the bench of 225 and then ran a 4.56 40, which, you know, frankly, you beat like 20-something offensive linemen on the bench, and you beat plenty of skill position players in the 40 times. So I think that's why everyone got a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, well, I try to go in there, you know, I am a kicker, you know, that's probably what get me in the NFL, you know, but I have a playing background, you know, I used to be play safety, you know, tailback and whatnot, so I still have that athleticism, so I'm just trying to go out there and show it. I mean, anything that could set me apart from my competition is good, you know. I mean, that's just another way to market myself and make myself more valuable. So I went in there, you know, I didn't have to bench, I didn't have to run, but I thought it could really help me, which helped me immensely. And I mean, I could never imagine, you know, getting this much media publicity and whatnot just for going in there and doing my thing. You know, I mean, I knew I could do that, put up those numbers and whatnot. So I mean, it's cool the publicity I got. I mean, it helped me out. And like I was saying, any way to market myself is good. And, you know, if the media wants to get on it too, then, you know, I'll show that I could handle myself with the media and whatnot.
Yeah, Rich Eisen actually did a little piece on you too when there were some of the eye catchers of the combine, and you were the guy that came up, because when the kickers came up, I guess, you know, most of the scouts had left at that point, so there wasn't as many people out there to see what you did.
Yeah, I mean, I've told the story before, but most of the people, you know, there was probably a good 200 people in the bleachers. You go on stage, the benches on the stage, you know, and the coaches are in the bleachers. So the tight ends, you know, get up get finished and whatnot, and we're waiting in line. And then the strength coach says the tight ends are done, but there's two snappers and three kickers that are going to bench press. And at least four-fifths of the crowd got them walked off. So, I mean, nobody expected, you know, a kicker to throw up what I did. So, I mean, I didn't really expect a lot of people to stick around either.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But then the on-field stuff came out, and you know, just from what I've read, it seems like you performed there really well as well. The kickoffs, the one thing I guess you said, or a couple of things in the blog, that you had a 4.48 hang time on one of your kickoffs, and one of the coaches was really impressed with that, said he hadn't seen that before. And I guess the one issue you said that you haven't really done directional kicking. Is that correct?
Yeah. I went in because we were allowed to have 11 kickoffs. You know, we did five in a row where we just hit as high and deep as we can. Three right, deep right, and then three left, deep left. So you're trying to angle it. The first five, you know, I was just booming. My leg was fresh, was prepared. You know, I've increased my flexibility. I was doing squats, you know, leading up to the combine, which I hadn't done in a while. So, I mean, I was doing everything the right way. So my leg, you know, felt at its peak, felt good to go and whatnot. So when I got out there, you know, I just let loose and just, you know, let everything explode. And I was crushing the ball, hitting the ball well. But then on directionals, you know, I was trying to place it more than just kicking it. You know, I was trying to think about it too much. And the first two went off my toe. And I was just like, you know, I have the strong leg. You know, I'm here to showcase that. So I tried to go right, you know, but I was more focused on just hitting it deep. So a lot of coaches came up to me, especially teams coaches came up to me afterwards and told me that if I were on their team, you know, if I was kicking off of them, they'd just tell me to just boom it. So that was reassuring. Yeah.
You're like, I can do that.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, yeah, we'd probably take the directional thing out of the equation and just have you kick it as far as you can.
That's funny. And then the field goal stuff started. It looked like you got off to a really good start there. You hit your first 10.
Yeah. I went 10 of 10. Then I was at 11 of 12 for one point, and then we had 50 yards right down the middle. You know, I've kicked that many times. You know, I'm usually pretty consistent with that kick. But we, like I was saying, we had 11 kickoffs. You know, I probably hit at the end of the day. I hit around 60 balls. And I don't think I've done that in a day since fall camp. You know, I didn't expect going in that we're gonna have to kick that much. I kind of was a little surprised. You know, I thought I knew what to expect, but that kind of threw me off. So when I got to that 50 yarder, you know, my leg was sore, tired. You know, I was trying to stay focused. You know, I was keeping that mental focus, but my body was just exhausted. My leg was kind of sore and whatnot. I mean, that's no excuse for missing them, but I should have made them. I should have finished strong, and I wish I had that back. But I hope my kickoffs and my field goals before that impressed the coaches enough that they kind of overlooked those misses at the end.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, did other kickers have a problem with that? I mean, there weren't that many kickers out there, but I mean, it's got to be hard doing that many, all those kickoffs followed by the kicks and do it, especially the 50 yarders to end it all.
Yeah, I know. Jose Martinez from UTEP maybe hit one out of three there. He might have missed them all too, but you know, the competition was high there for the kickers. I mean, a lot of really good kickers. So it was interesting to see. You know, I got to know all of them, great guys and whatnot. So I mean, it was fun going out there and doing my thing. You know, I was pretty much out there, you know, with friends, it felt like, you know, so that kind of took a little bit of pressure off. But it was fascinating to see all those guys kick. You know, I've been following their careers, you know, seeing what my competition would be like. And they went there and they did a good job too. So, I mean, it was an overall fun experience.
Now, I just want to give Trojan fans kind of an update. You're still taking classes now and you're set to graduate in May. Is that correct?
Yeah, I actually have an advanced finance midterm at 6 today, so definitely not looking forward to that.
Well, sorry, we won't keep you then. We don't want you.
No worries. Just a few minutes here and there won't hurt. So it takes me away from the studying a little bit. And keeps my sanity.
Now, part of the stuff you do at the combine, I mean, there's a lot of interviews and stuff. You got to talk to people. One of the questions I had was, you know, is the versatility that you brought, is that something that people take into account where, hey, this maybe he's my kickoff guy, but he could also do some other stuff for us? Like, does that come into the play? Like, did they ask you about that kind of stuff?
I interviewed with all the special team coaches before I kicked or before I even benched or ran 40. So I'm not. I mean, they probably knew about my athleticism, but I don't know if they took that in consideration. I mean, I've definitely heard talks. You know, I've gotten asked about whether that's gonna happen. You know, I could go as a kickoff guy slash kind of a special teams backup or even a starter. You know, just fill that roster void. So I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely game for it. I mean, I haven't really suited up and hit anybody for 2 years. I've been talking about the team thing, but I mean, I'm gonna do whatever the team wants me to. You know, I'm gonna be a team player and think about the team first and just and go from there. If they want me to play special teams, I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just, I mean, there's only 53 roster spots, right? So anyone that can play more than one position is usually that kind of wild card seems to impress some of the NFL people. I didn't know but maybe you guys will talk about that at the pro day or something. Go ahead.
I'll probably talk to my agents about that and whatnot and kind of figure out, I mean, it would be cool to play special teams, but then again, there might be a freak accident, where I go down there and, hurt my leg and I can never kick. You know, kicking is what's going to get me to my best chance to get me to the league. So, I mean, if I do hurt my leg, God forbid, on special teams, I mean, my NFL career is done. So, I'm going to have to sit down and see the risk, risk and reward of playing on special teams.
Oh, that's a really good point. And, it's kind of different from those days where you trotted out. Was it 3 years ago against Cal? You came out in the neck roll. Like you were a backup fullback and hit a 49-yard field goal there. It's kind of started your career at SC.
Yeah, those were the days, back in the old days. That was true though. Kind of jump started me, put me on the map. So I enjoyed that game, that kick, and the rest was history.
Yeah, I think we talked about that with you numerous times on USCFootball.com. But it's always a fun story to see the kicker come out in a neck roll and outrun people. We had a few user questions. I want some fans send in some questions. Hopefully, you wouldn't mind answering a couple of those. Is that all right?
Not at all.
Okay,
for sure.
So Steve wrote, this is not exact words, but he wanted to know if you needled any of your teammates, former teammates like Ray, Clay, Cushing, stuff like that. And this is what he said, about having them as appetizers at the combine. So he just wanted to know if you were teasing some of your some of the linebackers and some of your other position players when you beat them out at different things at combine.
That's a funny question, but I haven't seen Ray or Clay since the combine, but I was on the Facebook chat with Kush. Just kind of give him a little rip here and there, just trying to rub it in, I mean, here at SC, you'd give me some stuff, I'm not a true football player, I'm a converted soccer player, so, I mean, I just went out there and showed that I could get it done, so, I mean, obviously I'm going to say a couple words, to retaliate against him.
Now, you have, I mean, just... I don't remember if we talked about this before, but just looking at you, normally guys will make fun of the kickers and stuff, but didn't they have to accept you a little bit more just because you could run as fast as they could?
Yeah. I think I gained a little respect, that I was a player first and then started to kick. So, I mean, I think I got some props from the guys, on that and whatnot. So, I think that kind of made me fit in with the team a little bit better, but I mean, These guys here are always kidding around and whatnot. So I mean, I expected a little trash talk from Kush and Clay and whatnot. But now I'm just dishing it back.
Nice. I bet you if you make it on an NFL team, hopefully you will, that they would probably there'll be a little bit more acceptance there as well, just because of the stories that they would hear. But
Exactly.
Yeah. Bill and Cypress wanted to know on kickoffs, is there any part of you that just wants to kick it a little bit shorter than you normally would just so you can go and lay the wood to some guy?
I mean, it's definitely fun, when the guy breaks it through the hole, in your last line of defense, and you have to get the guy down. I mean, it definitely gets me a little pumped up and reminds me back of my playing days. But I always try to hit the touchback, that's more satisfying and whatnot. But sometimes I do hit it short, and you know, and the guy breaks through and I have to make that tackle. So, you know, I mean, it's always fun to do that, because I don't get that many opportunities anymore. But I hope to light some guy up, you know, sooner or later. Once I get the right angle, you know, I always usually go for the for sure tackle, you know, just to bring him down. But there'll be some occasions, you know, eventually in the future. Hopefully, I'll have a chance, you know, kind of sneak around the corner, and then the guy doesn't see me, so I can lay my helmet right in his chest. Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Cool. All right. So someone on the message board, his handle is 29th Street King. So apparently he was big on 29th Street. But he wanted to know, I mean, you talked about in the blog about the drug testing they did there. He was curious, what is it like at USC? Like, I mean, obviously you got to go through some kind of drug testing stuff. What's it like doing the testing in college?
It's pretty much the same thing. I mean, there's an NCAA test and a test from the trainers at USC. So, I mean, there's two tests that come around randomly, you know, and you never know when to expect them. And the NCAA, you know, they don't test as often as the school does. But, I mean, they all test for, you know, the street drugs, steroids, you know, performance enhancing, anything, you know. So, I mean, if you're doing stuff, you're getting caught. And you get probably, like, I think 12 random players from each team, you know, you'll probably do it at least once a month. So while I was at SC, I got drug tested twice. So.
Okay. All right.
It's all random stuff, and you know the trainer will come up to you the day before and say you're on the drug test, and you have to wake up you have to be in there at 7 a.m. you know, to ready to go. And obviously they kind of do the same thing, you know, kind of get that frontal view and make sure you're not cheating.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And then this is the last guy. He had a couple parts to this question. It was Jackson FF, so I think he might be a Bay Area guy. But he wanted to know if you envisioned yourself as a safety or a kicker coming out of JC.
Which one did I envision myself as?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to do both. You know, I've always had the strong legs, so I figure I could get in college and do kickoffs. I never thought I'd be a field goal kicker. I mean, I only kicked in my senior year in high school. I was 2 for 3 for field goals. So, and then I kicked off at junior college, and the first year I actually kicked field goals really was my junior year here. So I never really expected, you know, to be a field goal kicker. So I always tried to be that kickoff safety combo guy. So I talked to before I committed to SC. Talked to a few schools about going to the safety. You know, a couple of schools were pretty adamant about that. So, but I can't pass up a scholarship to USC. You know, so I came here kind of as a safety slash kicker, not knowing what to expect. So, I mean, I came in here and any way to get on the field at SC, you know, I was thankful for, and it ended up being that kicking was my niche.
And then the last part of that question was, he wanted to know how Pete sold you and kind of what your thought process was, because, you know, Mario Dinello was already here. And he actually, this is kind of funny, he actually said Van Rapphorst was here, but he meant Van Blarkum. I think that Van Rapphorst was a quarterback from a few years ago, but Van Blarkum was like the strong-legged guy that was here when you came in.
Yeah. Coach Carroll, did well at a JC combine as a safety, so that's what grasped his attention first. And when he and Coach Kiffin came down to my junior college, I also told him I'd kick. So, I mean, I think he was pretty astonished about that. And then showed him a few of my stats from some kicking camps I went to. And then came here on my unofficial, you know, committed right away. And there were three kickers on scholarship when I came in here, you know, me, Mario, and Troy. And that's unheard of anywhere. I mean, even two kickers on scholarship, which Mario and Troy were, was even unheard of. So, I mean, Coach Carroll took a gamble on me. You know, I didn't know what to expect getting here. You know, whether it was going to be a field player or a kicker. You know, so he took a gamble on me, and it worked out. And it just happened that way. And I'm definitely happy it did. You know, because I mean, I'm in this spot, and if it wasn't for Coach Carroll, if it was going to be committing here, you know, I, who knows where I'd be right now. So it's definitely I'm thankful for my God-given talent, and thankful that I'm here and found the right place.
Well, David, we appreciate your time. I know you're a big fan favorite with a lot of the USC fans, they love seeing you do well on the NFL Network there during the combine. We really appreciate you taking the time, especially when you got a midterm to study for today.
Hey, no problem at all. I was glad to be on here, and hope the fans enjoyed it, and I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you so much, and we wish you the best of luck. Hope you land with a NFL team, have a long career. Everybody else, we'll be talking more USC football next week. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we will talk to you then.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your iPod or MP3 player for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.